right, you guys. So today we are diving into one more of, I think maybe only this is the second to last sermon in our Gospel According to 21 Pilots series as far as the Album of Trench is concerned. After this Pet Cheetah sermon today, and then leave the city in a couple weeks, we're going to take a break. But last time that we looked at this song, Pet Cheetah, because this is part two, we discussed our need to wrestle with our problems. We talked about how biblically, and there, right there in the song, we need to wrestle with our problems, we need to stop hiding our brokenness, and we need to take our problems and our brokenness, which are so often one and the same, and we need to bring them to the Lord and get His opinion, get His perspective, hear what He has to say, the author and perfecter of our faith, the creator of our souls. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And I love this idea of a whole song being devoted to, and really so many books of the Bible devoted to, wrestling with stuff, wrestling with God. You guys know, you've heard it before, God's term of endearment for us, His kids, is Israel, which literally translated means to wrestle with the Lord. He affectionately refers to us as, I love wrestling with you. I picture myself on the floor in my living room. I'll just go and just kind of like do this, and I just wait, because when my kids see me hit my knees on the floor, they're like, it's time to wrestle. And it's awesome, and we love it, and I totally destroy them because I'm super strong, but it's so fun to wrestle with my kids. God loves to wrestle with you, and I don't care how big your question, your problem, your concern is. I don't care how much you messed up. He loves when we come to Him and wrestle with Him and ask for truth. And we do all of this because Matthew chapter 5, God blesses those who are broken. And we have that down. The world kind of has that down. Yeah, we're broken. We're broken people. God blesses those who are broken. But there's one more thing to it that we too often neglect. God blesses those who are broken and who realize their need for Him. Not God blesses those who are broken and run to social media. Not God blesses those who are broken and just turn to pornography or drugs or pick your poison. God blesses those who are broken and realize, I need Jesus. I need a Savior. I need some help beyond what the world can offer. And last time in Pet Cheetah, we discussed how God helps us realize our need for Him by allowing us to get a little hurt along the way. God loves us enough to where He will break our heart to save our soul. God will allow us to get hurt doing things our way so that it'll give us a desire to try things His way. How many of us in this room have in the past or right now are feeling, I have been trying to do this my way for years. No change, no help. I'm worse off than before. I am suicidal. Give God's way a chance. And know that if you are in that place of wrestling, but you haven't invited God in, He's allowing you to be in that place of frustration because Philippians 2 says, dear friends, continue to work out your personal salvation, your own relationship between you and Jesus with great fear, with great trembling, take it seriously, and with a little bit of awe and wonder, like I'm dealing with God. Because we work these things out because God is energizing you so that you will desire and do what pleases Him. God is using our frustration, our depression, our brokenness, our I've been doing it my way and it's not working to energize us to say, I'm gonna give God's way a shot and I'm gonna be all in. Now, before we dive into Pet Cheetah, there are some things that we need to remember that we talked about, some things we need to know about where Tyler was at when he wrote this. The 21 Pilots have not always been famous. They have not always been at the top of the food chain when it comes to the rock and roll industry. After the success of Blurry Face and Heathens, their last album, their last tour, they went from being adored by a pretty loyal, small fan base to being idolized by a planet. They went from having like a few hundred thousand fans that were like, we're all about you guys, to being having like millions and millions, if not maybe a couple billion fans. That's how large their influence and reach is. Imagine that. Imagine you are looked at. Imagine you are watched by hundreds of millions of people. They care what you eat. They want to know where you shop. They want to know what you're wearing today so they can wear the same thing. imagine that you have hundreds of millions of people that just obsess about every single thing you do. What did his wife wear and why? What's she trying to say? Like, just obsessed about everything that you do and say. It would affect you. It would affect me. And it's an understatement to say it affected Tyler. Like, it's just a whole new ballgame for he and Josh. Now, we know from interviews during that time and post that time between Blurry Face and now Trench that there was this undisclosed period, like, I don't know if it's a few weeks or a few months, between the two albums coming out, that Tyler intentionally secluded himself. Like, he stopped time, and he went away, and he secluded himself in his basement, which is this recording studio, which we've seen in My Blood video. He secluded himself in his basement, and he used this time to wrestle. He used this time to wrestle with their newfound fame. Lord, this is a whole new ballgame. I don't really know what to do or what to think. He used this time to wrestle with himself and his creative process, and he used this time to wrestle with the Lord. So, Pet Cheetah, which we will listen to in a moment, is the embodiment of that wrestling. And out of that wrestling didn't come just Pet Cheetah. The whole album of Trench came from this time where Tyler said, I'm going to go and sit down and work on this and figure it out and see what the Lord has to say. Now, last time we listened to this song, I challenged us to ask, what's my problem and how am I dealing with it? Today, as we listen to this song, as we process the lyrics, I want us to be asking, what's Tyler's problem? How's he dealing with it? And then, how does that relate to us? So, we're going to play the song, and if you know the words, feel free to sing along.
Down in my basement, I've raised them and bathed them and named them Jason Statham. I've trained them to make me these beats. Now my pet cheetah's quick and astuter than on his feet. I'ma get mine and get going. I'm showing my faces in just enough places. I'm going to tiptoeing. I'll stay in my room. My house is the one where the vultures are first on the roof. Get behind me, I bet this epitastic mindset will help us get odds as we're growing. This could mean so much to this dude. It can make him afraid of his music and be scared to death. He could lose it.
No, I move slow. I don't wanna stop time. I'll sit here till I find the problem. No, I move slow. I don't wanna stop time. I'll sit here till I find the problem. I find the problem. No, I move slow. I won't.
So, good news, bad news. Good news. Now we're going to do a sermon on what we just heard. Bad news. I'm only going to use one stanza from that song. And it's going to be more than enough for us to digest. And the stanza is this: no, I move slow, and I want to stop time, and I'm going to sit here. I'm not moving until I find the problem. That is Tyler's heart cry on behalf of himself, his creative process, his relationship with the Lord, and his fan base, these millions upon millions of people that are looking to him. We have a problem, and I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to think about it, and I'm going to pray about it, and whatever God says, I'm going to sing about it. What is the problem that Tyler is wrestling with? Let's unpack it. I think it's the same problem that every single one of us is wrestling with, whether we know it or not. We have an enemy. That enemy, his sole focus is to keep us from realizing that we need Jesus. We have an enemy who is keeping us from realizing we need Jesus. And we see that in 2 Corinthians 4. Satan, who is the god of this world temporarily, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. Therefore, they are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. And so they don't understand. They just don't get it. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ. We have an enemy. He is blinding our minds and preventing us from seeing the truth. He is keeping us from recognizing Jesus. Question: how is he doing that? How in this day and age, 2019, in America and arguably the world, how is the enemy keeping us from realizing that we need Jesus, from seeing the truth? He does it differently with each age. He does it differently in different countries and at different times, but he's got an advantage. The way he's doing it now is global. Tyler put the answer to that question that he asked in Pet Cheetah in Nico and the Niners visually. So we're going to look at a couple slides, some screenshots of that video to remind us what we should already know. The bishops we know in Nico and the Niners in the world of Trench represent the devil and the demonic, the fallen angels. And in Nico and the Niners, they create something. So here is a picture of them create. They've got like a forge. They're in this little temple. There's all these people like slack-jawed and empty-eyed just watching, and they create this thing, this tube of glass. They heat it with fire, and their goal, we know from that passage above, the enemy's goal is to blind people and to keep them from seeing truth, to keep them confused. So how can we keep people? If I'm the enemy and I'm like looking at these people who were made to see the true light of Jesus, how can I keep them from seeing that? Well, I'm going to put some false light in front of them. So they make it, and then they start to celebrate it. They start to worship it. They start to dance around it. They're like, look at this thing that we made with its eerie blue light that clearly is like hypnotizing and taking all these people behind us and just making them like mindless and numb. I don't think it's a coincidence then in the official audio video that we just listened to, that the only thing that you see the whole time is this hypnotic light bulb going back and forth, like, look into my eyes and do it. Like, that is intentional. So they make this creation, they celebrate it, it's a false light, but if you look at it, it's got a very familiar shape. And with my mad Photoshop skills, I did not have to manipulate this image hardly at all to just make this iPhone fit perfectly on these false tubes of light, this manufactured blue neon glow. So let's work with that hypothesis that their creation is a cell phone and they're using it to blind people's eyes and minds, to numb them to the reality that, like, Jesus is real and I need a savior. But there's another element in the room. There's this statue behind them. It's the centerpiece of their little temple. It's standing in light. It's looking up to light. What is the statue? And I have wrestled with this because the other pieces seem pretty obvious, but I wrestled for weeks. I talked at length with you guys, with my wife. What is that statue? Like, it's got its arms up. The fingers are interlocked. It's look like, what's going on with that thing? And I could not figure it out. I had to rely on my wife because she is like wicked smart, way more intelligent than me. We didn't figure out what that statue represented until we went to their live show here in Houston, November 6th. Just to prove I'm not making it up, here's some pictures. Here's me and some students and some of my team. There were about 20 of us, but this was all that stuck around that watched the show. There we are at the concert. It was amazing. Now, I had a pass to go into the pit. So let's see a picture. That's my perspective from the pit, taking a picture of my beautiful pink-haired wife, the Brooke Bear. Hi, Brooke Bear. During the show, at some point, she too took a picture of me in the pit. See the bald guy? That's me. It was very awkward for me to be there. One, I was like a giant because everybody there was like 12, 13, and I'm just like, I am here to enjoy this music with you. But also like one of the few bald guys in the audience. I took note. It's just something you think about when you're bald. And then, next picture, something cool that happened was that the 21 Pilot official photographer took a picture, and I'm like, hey, that's me! Bald guy, right? Easy to spot. So there we are at the concert, and remember, I'm down on the floor, like I'm in the thick of it. I'm where the action's at. It was so good. But Brooke was in the stands. She had a different perspective than me. And from where Brooke was watching the show, she figured it out. We talked about it after the fact. We prayed about it. And Brooke is just like, I know what that statue is, and it's this. And I'm so convicted that she's right. I wrote an Instagram post about it on our little Gospel According to 21 Pilots page on December 10th. I'm just going to read it to you. My wife and I have been stuck on the statue from Nico and the Niners for weeks. What's it represent? Why is it looking up? What's it doing with its hands? Now, early on, I wondered if the statue was meant to embody self-worship. After all, the statue is the centerpiece of the temple where Nico and the Niners create and then begin to worship the false light that they manufactured in order to hypnotize their followers, but I wasn't sure. And then we went to the 21 Pilots show in Houston last month, and my wife noticed something that has been right in front of us the whole time. Picture yourself in the pit as Tyler walks across the skybridge. Skybridge lowers, he walks across it, and it just changes the whole tone of the show. It was at that moment that my wife made this connection. She took a picture at that moment and would later say to me, babe, look at the audience. Look at how they're holding their phones up. The statue is us. Look at all those people, all the people in the pit, looking up at Tyler through their phones. And isn't that a picture for our lives lately? Looking at the things that we have longed to see, that we love, the people, but we are not looking at them in their eye. We are looking at them through a false light. We process our lives, our self-worth. We process the news all through these screens. All right, moving on. Do you see it? I don't know. Maybe you need more convincing. Check out the hands of the statue at minute 120 in the Nico and the Niners music video. That statue isn't looking up at interlocked fingers. There is something small and flat in its hands. It's a cell phone. The statue, unless I'm a fool, which I'm okay with because I've been called worse, represents something. I think Tyler and Josh are telling us something deeply personal with the representation of ourselves in their video. And once again, I think the answer is right in front of us, right there in the first three words of Nico and the Niners. We denounce vileism. Put that phrase another way. We are to reject the worship of created things. And if that's not the gospel according to 21 Pilots, I don't know what is. Whether or not any of this rings true, I would encourage you to ask yourself this: am I guilty of vilism? Am I looking to created things to rescue me, to affirm me, to give me value? Am I letting social media and my device define me? Am I worshiping Tyler and Josh, these celebrities? Am I saying thank you to them for saving my life, when it was really the good news embedded in their lyrics that does the work? Our devices can't save us. Likes on social media will never truly satisfy us. And as amazing as they are, not even Tyler and Josh are worthy of our worship. And they know it, which is why they've asked us to do something about it, which is this: leave the city, leave Dima, run. Where? True east. And east is up. The Garden of Eden is up. Heaven is up. Jesus is up. You want to escape the false reality you're living in? Start looking up. Now, I posted this theory on social media on my little page, and I thought it would get some traction. I anticipated it'd get some pretty significant pushback because of a lot of people that are clickies. I don't know if I count as one. I probably do. But they don't always like my opinions. So I was like, all right, let's see what happens. But the theory went viral. I have since seen this theory posted a couple months ago, translated into languages I don't even recognize. And it has been seen by thousands upon thousands of people. In fact, one of our own students, can I out him? Yes. Alex Wren came up to me a couple weeks ago and said, Have you seen this theory on social media that it's the statue's us and it's holding a phone? This is crazy. You should talk about it. And I'm like, I wrote that, dude. Like, I've seen it. I know. But I love that you saw it too. No. That's all right. It made me smile mucho. All right. What does it tell me that not just believers, but unbelievers resonated with this possibility, resonated with, oh my gosh, they're trying to tell us to stop living in a false reality and like put our phones down? It tells me this. There's something deep within us that knows it's true, that knows that we were not made to experience life through this, to find our value sitting and doing this. And I know that that thing is in us, and it's deep within us because it's right there in Ecclesiastes 3. God has planted eternity in the human heart. That is true for every single one of you that hears my voice right now. Right now, where you sit in these beautiful, borrowed sacks of dirt, that's all they are, inside of you is not just a heart that's beating, it is eternity that God put in you from before you were born. Right now, there is something spiritual and powerful and beyond your reckoning that lives in you that God planted there. Knowing that, let's summarize everything we've discussed so far. What is Tyler's problem? It's that he realizes that we are living in a world run by the enemy, and the enemy says, live in a false reality. Settle for false reality. While all day, every day, in nature, in this book, in church, God himself, Jesus Christ, is crying out. In those places and the eternal thing in your heart, no. I made you to live in reality. I made you to have real experiences, real relationships. When people say they like you, it's to your face and they mean it. Tyler, as well, realizes that we are living in a world that is run by the enemy that says you should worship celebrities. You should worship people, which are also just created things. When all day, every day, eternity in our hearts knows, the Bible affirms, nature just proves through and through, we were only made to worship the eternal creator of our souls, Jesus Christ, and nothing else will satisfy you but that. You got a God-shaped hole in your heart, and no phone, no pornography addiction, no drug will ever satisfy it. It might numb it for a minute, but only God can satisfy your soul. All right, How many times, if you're still not convinced, if you're like, that's really stupid the way he put a phone on that thing. I admit, it feels a little stupid the first time. But the more I looked at it, I'm like, that's real. How many times, just entrenched, you can look at other albums. They got a whole song called I'm Not Gonna Believe What's on TV. What's the title, Alex? We Don't Believe What's on TV. But just entrenched, how many times is the idolatry of devices addressed in their lyrics? Well, let's look at it this way. Tyler asks a question in Pet Cheetah that we are asking today, and he answers it in just about every single song. What's the problem? He answers it in Levitate. This culture is a poacher of overexposure. He's saying, we got a problem in our culture. We are drowning in it. We are drowning in what the media is putting and just jamming down our throat, what this thing is telling us all day, every day. So that's in Levitate. Morph says, you have an enemy. His name's Nico. And he is telling you all day, every single one of you, that you're just a copy, that you're just insignificant, that you don't matter. And he's doing this how? With lights that blink to me, transmitting things to me, ones and zeros. It's just binary. It doesn't mean anything. Ergo, this whole symphony, all of Trench, this whole album is written to communicate this to you. Is anybody listening? Ones and zeros, that's all it is. You can count to infinity, just ones and zeros. It's never ending. There's so much garbage flowing through this thing. We are being drowned in endless vomit of information. And it's doing, while drowning us, saying, you can't look away. You've been off your phone for 10 minutes? What if somebody made a comment? You gotta get back on there and see. That's Morph communicating to us just information, and it's programmed. It's intentional, you guys. And what's it making us feel? We don't matter. My life is meaningless. And then you got Bandido that we looked at just a couple weeks ago. In city, I feel my spirit is contained like what? Again, like neon lights inside glass. You think that's a coincidence? And what are they doing, this neon inside glass? It's forming my brain. Our devices are imprisoning our minds. And I know that's hard to hear. And I know you're like, not putting down the phone. It's $1,000. It's the most expensive, wonderful thing I own. But think about it. Are you ruling your phone, or is it ruling you? Our devices are changing the way that we think. It's tough for me sometimes when I give you guys Romans chapter 12. God wants to transform you by changing the way that you think. The first word out of Jesus Christ's mouth when he began his public ministry was repent, the biblical definition of which is change the way that you think about who God is and who he created you to be. And when I say that to people, I just feel like on their behalf that they're like, man, don't tell me what to think. God just wants to control the way I think. You guys, this is what's controlling the way that we think. This is changing the way that you were designed to think. And if you think it's not true, then why are the teenagers in Montgomery County, Texas, taking their lives more than any other county in Texas? Because we are being force-fed a false reality, and we've settled for the fact that, yeah, this is the best there is, and the eternity in our heart says, hell no, but we get so depressed that we just like, I'm out of here. Bandido proves that these devices are changing the way that we think, which is why Jesus, the healer, the restorer, the solution, is like, no, I can change the way that you think to something good and healthy. Romans chapter 6 says, don't you realize you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin or your device or social media or depression or brokenness. You can just, that's my identity and there's nothing more to it. And you know where that leads? Death, suicide in record numbers. Or you can choose to obey God, which leads to a right and reconciled life. You don't have to. It's a choice, but you get to, and it's beautiful. Neon gravestones. He asked the question in Pet Cheetah, I'm going to sit here till I find the problem. And then in neon gravestones, no coincidence, what's my problem? It's this. Our culture can treat a loss like it's a win. Neon gravestones, they try to call for my bones. Our culture is backwards. Our culture says this loss is a win. This person committing suicide was awesome. This person getting vengeance is the right way to go. They treat losses like they're wins, and it is communicating to us in neon gravestones that, man, living through your device, living according to what they say, it's literally taking our lives. Like, again, it's not a coincidence that our phones are the shape of little tombstones in a cemetery. And just picture these little neon gravestones that we carry around in our pocket filled with this false blue light and how we spend our time on it. Just, I don't want to get in. I can't even have a Snapchat account because I love you guys so much. And I look at it and I'm like, oh, dang. No, don't do that. We watch all these shows on our devices that glorify the most backwards, painful, harmful thing you could ever do. We look at our devices and read 24/7 news that never stops, the meat of which, the bulk of which is be afraid of everything and trust no one. These little neon gravestones, we use them in a variety of sizes to play violent, disgusting, pornographic video games. And if you don't think that that's hurting the way that you think, you are wrong. And I say that with absolute love and zero judgment. There are whole hospitals going up fast. They can't even build them fast enough in China because there are 27 million teenagers that are registered internet addicts, and they are killing themselves by record numbers. And China's like, well, we're going to fix it. And amen, I hope you do. But you putting a kid in a hospital because they're addicted to the internet is not what the eternity in their soul needs. They need Jesus. We need Jesus. We've got the hype where things turn a corner. Okay, so let's assume this is a problem. Well, what do we do about it? Well, in the hype, it says 11 times, just don't believe the hype. Reject the hype. Recognize that you are being lied to and stop believing the lie that I have to be on my phone. I have to watch this show so I have something to talk about later. Nico and the Niners, I love this. Just think of Josh and Tyler. All right, we've discovered a problem. What are we going to do about it? Here's what they do about it. We're going to start a concert, and P.S., it's going to be a complete diversion. The whole album is a diversion. We're going to start a mob of people that get it. And you can be quite certain that we are going to win. We are going to escape. But man, my heart breaks that not everybody is going to get out. The whole world of Trench, the entire album, is a distraction. It's just Tyler's creative way of saying, run. Run from idolatry. Put down your device. Live in reality. What does my blood say? Stay with me. Don't run. Run from idolatry, but run to me. Run from your brokenness, but run to your healer. Stay with me. Don't run. And then leave the city, which we'll hit in a couple weeks. Oh, it's going to be so good. In time, it says over and over, I will leave the city. What's he saying? Man, in time, eventually, let it be today, I'm going to get out of this self-serving mindset. I'm going to unplug from this false reality. I'm going to make a decision and take action. I'm going to take control back of my mind and my thoughts and my future. You guys, life is too short. In time, we need to recognize that there is a full-on assault on our salvation and our understanding of Jesus Christ, and we need to get out. I wrote this down between services just while we were worshiping him back there. No one in this room at the end of their life will say, I wish I had spent more time on social media. No one in this room on their deathbed will say, what's going to happen with Grey's Anatomy? Oh, Jesus, let me hang on for one more day. I'll tell you what's going to happen. Disaster. They make stupid decisions on that show. All right. How does this concept line up with Scripture? Well, I'll just fire four at you. Exodus 20, verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. No other gods before me. You don't have to. It's a get to. You don't want anything between you and your Father in heaven. You don't want anything standing between you and your Savior. I don't want to go to my mom to talk to her and have an intermediary. Have nothing between you and your relationship with Jesus. 1 John chapter 5. Friends, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your heart. What's more important to you? What's more important to me? My love relationship with Jesus Christ, who has beautiful, powerful things to say to me anytime I sit with him, or looking at my phone and finding out, where am I at? How am I doing? Is this guy better off than me? Well, I better up my game. 1 Corinthians 10, friends, flee, run, escape, idolatry. Colossians chapter 3, how serious should we take this, Jesus? How, I mean, you say flee, that's a strong word. I mean, not a lot of people use it today, but how serious should we take getting away from this false reality? Friends, kill your earthly impulses. Well, what does that mean? Kill your desire to do whatever you feel like whenever you feel like it. Oh my gosh, that's what the world that we live in. Do whatever you want. If it feels good, go for it. If you think it's true, what's your truth? Go for it. Doesn't matter what God said. He only like made you. Kill that in yourself. What else should we kill? Kill that thing in me and you that these devices are reinforcing all day long, every day. Just grab on to whatever you want. Just take whatever you want. Be greedy and apologize for nothing. Consumerism at its finest. What else should we know from Colossians 3? What should we kill? A life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. How much of your life is built on a reverence and a love for Jesus going back and forth versus how much of our lives are built by the thing in my pocket and the way that I feel? Because feelings change and God doesn't. Romans chapter 2, again, it's just too good not to read. Do not copy the behaviors and customs of this world, which say, look at your phone all day, every day, never turn off your television. But instead of doing that, instead of copying the world around you, instead of doing what the enemy says, let God transform you by changing the way that you think. Thank God we have an answer. All right, Trench is warning us. Every page of this book is warning us of this, Psalm 135. The idols of the nations, the whole world, they're merely things of silver and gold, shaped by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, mouths but cannot breathe. Those who make and those of us who trust in them become like them. Think about that. Think about your connection and my connection to our phone. Those who trust, who give the best of themselves to these devices, become like them. What does that mean? It means that we become like our devices and thereby forfeit the ability to speak truth. When this device controls me, I forfeit my right to see truth. I lose the ability to hear truth, which ultimately leads to me feeling lifeless. And when you feel lifeless, and I know even as I say that word, there are those of us here that do right now, lifeless, meaningless. This is false, and I know it somehow, some way. Then taking your life doesn't seem like that big a deal. And it is. God loves you. God gave you life, real life. Don't be mad at him. Recognize in yourself, I've settled for less. I'm living in a false reality. Thank God somebody cared enough to say something about it, to do something about it. Thank God for Jesus, who heals every disease and sickness, it says in Matthew 9:36. And it says right here, whenever the crowds came to him, he had compassion for them. Because, and tell me if this isn't you in this room at some time this year, because they were deeply distraught, they were worn out, and they were heartbroken. To Jesus, they seemed like lost sheep without a shepherd. But you know what? It might seem that way, but that's not the case. We have a shepherd, and he has told us this is the right way to go. And it's not through that. The heart of this sermon is super simple, and it's just a loving warning and reminder to all of us that we need to respect the power of that little idol in our pocket. At the end of the day, it is a tool. It's a useful one. I use it every day. But if I abuse it, it really hurts me, and it's really hurting you too. I want to ask us some just introspective between you and the Lord questions as we wrap up, and the band can make their way up while you guys grab paper and pen. I'm going to ask some things, but I just want you and the Lord to process them between yourselves. Ask yourself, between you and Jesus, nobody's judging you or listening to you or looking over your shoulder. Am I spending more time in a device versus in the liberating, affirming, loving Word of God? Am I spending more time reading gossip on a device, on a phone, than I am reading the truth that says will set you free? It's just between you and the Lord. I myself am on the former side, and I'm not proud of it. Ask yourself, am I spending more time with other people, with human beings, or in social media, on Snapchat, in false reality? Am I spending more time looking for ways to encourage people and speak life to people and love people immediately in front of me? Or am I spending the best of myself, the most of my time and effort pursuing likes on social media? Am I spending the best of myself when I sing songs that I listen to, singing things that acknowledge truth and praise Jesus? Or am I singing songs that just glorify the world and all the garbage that we settle for? This one's huge, and it's so easy to rectify. Am I spending more time praying, just talking to God about my problems and my brokenness? Or am I spending the best of my time complaining about my problems and worrying about my brokenness, which will only and ever make them worse? There's so much more I want to say. There's so much more to this song, but we're going to save it for next time. For now, I just want to point out what we have just walked through at length, that Pet Cheetah is just a great example. It's a great example of seeing a problem, of asking God, what do you say about this problem? And when he answers, when you feel like you have an answer, you do something about it. You respond. You put your faith in action. God spoke to Tyler and said, you need to tell these people to stop worshiping you. You need to help these people recognize that they're settling for false reality. And then he spent a whole year writing music, creating videos, going on tour to tell people in the most beautiful, creative, foot-stomping way, you are settling for less, and it's hurting you. There's a better way. You need to turn to your blood brother, Jesus Christ. You need to morph and transform into something new. Here's our takeaway. Here's the action for this sermon that I want to challenge you with. But if you have feel convicted some other way, amen. Go with it. But right now, between you and the Lord, write out a prayer as I ask these questions. But ask the Lord right now if he would have you fast. Just think about what it would be like for all of us if all this room fasted for 1 week, abstained for 1 week, just put our devices down for 1 week, what that would look like. Ask the Lord if he would have you do that. Maybe it's not your device. Maybe it's just social media. What would it look like if we all fasted for the month of February or for just the next 7 days? I'm not going to be on social media for a week. I'm just going to see if I feel better. I'm just going to see if it makes a difference. What would it look like if we just said, I'm not going to watch TV for a week? And it'll be there when you get back. How much more time might you have to do things that are meaningful and real? What would it look like for some of us in this room and said, I'm going to stop playing video games for the month of February and see if my temper can like get back into control. If I stop having like murderous rage when I don't get what I want. Imagine just fasting, just stepping away from the things that have been controlling us. But you need to know this about fasting. The key to fasting is not just removing something. It's replacing what you've removed. If you're fasting from food, the trick is, when you start to get hungry, instead of reaching for some waffles, you pray. When you're hungry, it's your trigger to talk to the Lord, to pray, to sing. So as you feel convicted to maybe set down one or, man, all of what I just listed, the second part of the question is this. What would you have me pick up? What would you have me try in its place? What's your way that I can replace my way with? Ask the Lord. When I feel the temptation to pick up my phone, would you have me pray right then and there? And man, prayer works. when I feel the temptation to get on social media, would you have me instead read some scripture? You just put a prayer card in your pocket and just read it when you feel like grabbing your phone. Would you have me put down video games and instead, like, play with my brother or sister or go outside and go for a walk in your creation? Would you have me abstain from listening to the garbage music that is filling my mind saying it's all about me and cheating on people is healthy and good, and instead just listen to worship for a week solid? I can tell you with more confidence than my voice can muster, if you do these things, remove the one, replace it with the other, you will not regret it. You will feel better this week than you have maybe in a year. You will think clearer. You will feel more. You will experience life and the love of Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray for us. But if you feel like any of those are something you're supposed to do, man, for the love of God and yourself, do them this week. And I would love to hear how it goes. Bow your heads with me. Jesus, as we pray to you, as we respond to you through the bringing of the tithes and offerings and our prayer cards, as we respond through taking communion and just saying thank you that you made a way of escape, as we respond through worship, would you just let us know none of us are so far gone that we can't come back. None of us have strayed so far that we can't find our way home. The answer is right in front of us. So would you empower us to do something with our faith this week? And man, I pray for early wins for every single one of us that do. May we test you in this by bringing you something and saying, do something with it that I can. Bless us. Love us in the right direction. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
No, I move slow. I don't wanna stop time. I'll sit here till I find the problem. No, I move slow. I don't wanna stop time. I'll sit here till I find the problem. I've got a pet cheetah down in my basement. I've raised him and bathed him and named him Jason Statham. I've trained him to make me these beats. Now my pet cheetah's quicker and astuter than on his feet. I'ma get mine and get going. I'm showing my faces in just enough places. I'm going tiptoeing. I'll stay in my room. My house is the one where the vultures are perched on the roof. Get behind me, I'll bet this nepotistic mindset will help us get odds as we're growing. This could mean so much to this dude. It can make him afraid of his music and be scared to death. He could lose it. No, I move slow.